Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Because you've been active in the ways and the circles of religion, but you know that on the inside you're empty. There's a hole there. There's a vacuum there that has not been filled, and there's something missing. There's something wrong. I want to tell you, don't let your good works fool you. If He is not your Lord, He has never been your Savior.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Welcome, truth seekers. Welcome to Truth Infusion. My name is David Markham. This is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. If you're not familiar with Truth Infusion, I encourage you to go to our website, truthinfusion.com. And the main reason I bring that up today is because if you go to truthinfusion.com, we have a radio page at our website. It's easy to find. Look for the radio page, and on the radio page, you're going to get some information about the radio ministry, but most importantly, all of the archived radio programs are listed on that radio page. There's 120, 140 radio shows that you can go listen to right now for free. Go pick one out and start listening to it. Specifically, we are in the middle of a teaching series right now that is entitled Counterfeit Salvation. And if you have not heard any of these shows so far, if this is the first one, and this is actually the fourth in this series, you're going to get a lot out of what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give a brief review, and then we're going to get into today's program. But if you've missed any of these shows, I highly encourage you, please go back to truthinfusion.com, find the radio page, and catch up with us, because this is probably one of the most important teaching series that I've ever done, that God's ever given me. I'm just being real right now. It's not only one of the most important, it's got to be the most heavy. And it's not lighthearted. Guys, this is heavy stuff because we are really taking a hardcore look at salvation. And the truth is, it's just a very high possibility that a vast majority of the Church of Jesus Christ today, let me say that differently, I don't want to misspeak. There's a very high percentage of the people that attend church on a regular basis, churchgoers, that will never see the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking about people that have church memberships, that perhaps have been in a particular church or denomination for years and years and years. They may even have titles within the church. Elder, deacon, Sunday school leader, song leader, piano player. I'm going to give you some prime examples of that next week as we conclude this. I want to give you some real life testimonies about it. Pastors, church, listen to me. Truth seekers, hear what I'm saying. My heart is breaking as I'm teaching this. I want you to know that there are many pastors. They have the role, the title of pastor, but they will never see the kingdom of God. David, how do you know that? Because Jesus Himself told us that only one out of every four persons that hears the true word of God preached and taught will receive it into their heart in such a way that it takes root and it grows a great fruit. You see, Jesus even taught us in the parable of the four soils that 75% of those that hear the truth will not receive it. 75% that hear a great sermon, a godly sermon, a powerful sermon this Sunday will not receive it in such a way that it finds root in their heart. If you don't receive the Word of God, and if it never finds its way into your heart, you will not be a Christian. Cannot be. I gave you great stats from men that would say that 50, 65, 75, Billy Graham said 80, 5% in his estimation of churchgoers will never see the kingdom of heaven. That's why this is so important. Counterfeit salvation is running rampant in the church today. And I told you that I wanted to teach through this series three particular categories of counterfeit or false salvation, where the person believes they're saved, but they are deceived. It is not real. Something that's counterfeit looks very real, but it is not the real thing. The first one we talked about under the heading of seeing is not believing. That was show number two. Go back and listen to it. Pointed out that just because you can correctly identify something that is godly, you may be affected by the miracle. You may have emotional response from a great church service. You may know when you see something of God, you may be able to rightly identify that's of God. But just because you have the faith to identify the truth does not mean you have placed your faith in submitting to the truth. And you can identify the correct effect. But if you don't have relationship with the source of the effect, with the cause of the effect, you are not saved. For more details, please go listen to Counterfeit Salvation, show number two. The second category that I brought up last week was under the heading or the title, Knowledge is Not Power. Knowledge is not power. The old saying says knowledge is power, and in some aspects, that's the truth. But when it comes to salvation, you can't know your way in. I said last week, just kind of off the cuff, that there's not going to be some Bible trivia quiz that gets you into the kingdom of heaven. If that was true, most atheists could make it. Because most atheists know the Word of God so well that they make Christians look foolish when they debate with them the Word of God, because the Christians, for the most part, aren't thinkers anymore. The atheists are. They think wrong, but they're thinking. But you can know the truth forward and backward and be as lost as a demon headed to hell. We talked about Nicodemus last week. How much great knowledge of the Word and the law and the prophets he had. And he spoke to Jesus a sentence of great impact and great truth. I could preach a powerful sermon off of the statement that Nicodemus made. But after he made this statement of truth about Jesus, Jesus turned and looked at him and said, "You need to be saved. You need to be born again." Nicodemus had all the knowledge that his mind could hold and had no concept of what true salvation was. Jesus even goes on to say in verse 10, "You are the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this." How many teachers and preachers in the church today have a lot of knowledge and even, perhaps even, right knowledge? Yet, they are not saved. Knowledge is not power. That is a very strong form of counterfeit salvation. And I want to tell you who is most likely to be misled and eternally fooled by this category of counterfeit salvation. It is those of us that were born and raised in the church. Because we've been around it our whole life, we know all about it. And because we've been involved with it, we feel like we're automatically a part of it. And there are many people who have been in church their whole lives, decades and decades, and they have great knowledge and great experiences, can tell you all about the church, but they don't belong to Christ. They don't belong to Christ. I remember one time working as a car salesman, and an older gentleman came one day to my office, sat down across from me at my desk, and he ministered to me for about 45 minutes. He got up to leave. He walked past the receptionist there, and he said to her, "Young lady," I was listening to this, "Young lady, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I've been in church my whole life." And he looked at her, and he said, "Well, that's good. But if you had been in a garage your whole life, would that make you a car?" made a point to me. And the point is well taken through the lens of what I'm talking about today. Just because you've been in the church your whole life and have great knowledge doesn't mean you're in. So you might want to check yourself where that's conserved. Okay, let's move into the third category of counterfeit salvation. And admittedly, there are probably more, but these are the three God has placed in my heart. Here's this week's lesson, or this week's category is under this title, this heading. Practice does not make perfect. Practice does not make perfect. You see, practicing Christianity does not a Christian make. Let me say that again. Practicing Christianity, or doing Christian things, or performing Christian works does not make you a Christian. Now, the springboard verse for this whole teaching series was found in Matthew 7:23, when Jesus made a very impactful and eternally important statement. But I want to back up to verse 21 and then read back down through that verse. Here's what Jesus said. This is his very words. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" Here's verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I want to tell you something. There have been a few times in my ministry where I have referenced this verse or taught on this verse. And I want to tell you, even in the room with people that believe they belong to Jesus Christ, when you bring up this verse and you talk about this person that Jesus is outlining what their day-to-day walk looks like, and you see the things that they admit before Christ, and it's very Christianly godly things, it would seem to be the things that most Christians would be exceedingly excited to be able to admit about their life. How many of us would love to be able to stand before Jesus one day and say, "I prophesied in your name, I cast out demons in your name, I did great wonders in your name"? I helped with the cookies and the punch at Vacation Bible School. You know what I'm saying? This isn't, you know, once a month I'd go down and help clean the church. This is powerful work in the kingdom. Prophesying means preaching. Casting out demons is no small thing. Doing wonders and miracles and signs. This is not a fair-weather Christian here. This would seem to be someone who's got it all going on and all going right because they are practicing great works in the Christian circles. But Jesus looks at this person and says, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Get away from me. Depart from me." And when he says that in the Greek, it points out that of a permanent solution. Depart from me and never, ever come back to me. Because you are one who practices lawlessness. And it's worth our spending a few moments to examine. Here is a person that was very busy practicing spiritual acts. Let's take a look at it, okay? Because I want to show you that just because on the surface you are doing what seems to be Christian work does not necessarily mean you are a Christian. The first thing he said was, "Didn't I prophesy in your name?" And this is the same concept for preaching. Wow, the concept that just because you're a preacher of the Word of God doesn't mean that you're saved. Is that not heavy? I said this when I was preaching this the other day. If it's true that 75, 85, 90%, as A.W. Tozer said, 90%, he said, of churchgoers would never see heaven, and this person in Matthew chapter 7 says, "I preached in your name," is it true that perhaps the preachers even would not see the kingdom of heaven? Here's what I want you to hear. If 90% of any given church does not get to go to heaven after the rapture. And in fact, their pastor is one of them. This is what that means. That church, the Sunday morning after the rapture, church service is going to look almost exactly like it did the Sunday before the rapture. Not much is going to change. It will be business as normal in the church house that day, because 90% of the folks are going to be there, and the preacher may still be there too. They're going to look around. They're going to say, wow, we got a few people out sick this week, I guess. Maybe there's some folks on vacation, or hey, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, so we're expecting some people not to be here this weekend, but hey, the majority of us are here. In fact, most of us are here. Let's go ahead and have church. And the true church of Jesus Christ will have been raptured away. Didn't I preach in your name? David, is it possible to be a preacher and not be a Christian? Well, I remember a few things. It just tips me off a few things from the Word, but I want to bring out this one particularly in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, Paul and his associates are going through town. There's a woman following behind them, and she is preaching in a great sense of the word. She's saying this. This is from Acts 18:16. She says, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she would follow them and say this again over and over. "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Let me ask you this question, truth seekers. Was Paul, Barnabas, were they servants of the Most High God? Yes. No doubt about it. This woman would say that they proclaim to us the way of salvation. So let me ask you that question. Did Paul preach and teach the true way of salvation? Absolutely so. In ways that no one else did. The real and true Word of God, the real and true way of salvation. This lady was following them around like a billboard, proclaiming the truth about them and the Word they were preaching and the God that they were from. She was saying all this. It sounded very right. But eventually, Paul had finally had enough, and he turned around and he threw a demon out of her. She was demon-possessed from the get-go. But preaching and speaking the very truth, "Didn't I prophesy and preach in your name?" The second thing Jesus says, this man comes and says, "Didn't I cast out demons in your name?" Surely someone who casts out demons must be saved. But I'm reminded of Mark chapter 6. Jesus sends out all the disciples two by two in different directions. He sends them out to preach, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. In just a short time, they come back to Jesus. Jesus pulls them aside, and they begin to, with excitement, report on what they had experienced and what they had done. Let me ask you a question, truth seeker. Who was among them? All the disciples went out, including who? Judas Iscariot, of whom Jesus says was a devil from the beginning. He's called the son of perdition. He was not a child of God. And he was one of the disciples sent out in pairs that performed great acts in the name of Jesus. Today, Judas is burning in hell. "Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do many wonders in your name?" I'm reminded of Exodus chapter 7. Moses and Aaron come into the very throne room, the courtroom of Pharaoh himself. And Aaron works one of the signs, one of the wonders that God had given to them to help identify who they were and who they were from. Aaron throws down his staff. You remember this? Throws down his staff, and what happens? It becomes a snake. It transforms from a stick into a living, moving snake. Great wonder, fantastic miracle. But this is what it says in Exodus 7, verse 11. It says, "But Pharaoh, also called the wise men, the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. You see, the enemy was able to duplicate, to mock the miracle worked by God. And many, many times in the Word, Satan duplicates the wonders that God's miracle-working men perform. Hey, I remember in Job, in the book of Job, Satan even shows us that in some respects he has ability to manipulate creation, because he sends a whirlwind to knock down the house of Job, kills all his kids. Satan loves to offer his power in such a way that miracles are performed that hook people in and draw them in to false security and false religion. The Antichrist will come one day, his false prophet will stand next to him, and miracles will be performed, and many people will think that the Antichrist is in fact the Messiah. There are those that operate within the church house, that preach a good word, and perform signs and wonders, and I want to tell you something, they are not saved. Because practicing does not make perfect. I was listening to, I believe it was Ravi Zacharias, I may be wrong about that, he's one of my favorites though. Listening to a radio preacher the other day was speaking. Yeah, it was Ravi Zacharias. He was talking about someone that he had ministered to that went to India to sit in front of one of the spiritual gurus in one of the great religions in India. I don't mean great as in good, but one of the large religions in India. And this man, highly esteemed religious spiritual leader, came out working miracles, performing wonders. He said he looked at this man who had never been there to India, never seen this man before. He looked at him and he said, "You in the green jacket who came from Ethiopia?" The man had never seen him before. He was from Ethiopia. He brought him in. The man would come out, this religious guru, and select a handful of people every day, bring them into his dwelling, and would just blow them away. And the man said, "I left after an hour, just completely, my mind was blown by what I had seen and what I had heard at the man's hands. I gave my life to his teachings for a time, but I realized very soon, even though spiritually it was powerful and it was drawing me in, I was a wreck on the inside. I saw what I saw, a man practicing great works, but when I tried to follow what he was saying, I was empty on the inside." Don't be led away because someone can perform spiritual and religious works. There are even those in the church that preach it and back what they're preaching up with wonders. But Jesus looked at this man that day in Matthew chapter 7, and he said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." I want to tell you something very personal to me right now. And if he was here right beside you, I would let him give his testimony himself. But I said it last week in passing. My father is a fantastic preacher. He is a man of God. But he started out in the ministry from a very young age. He was 17 years old when he began pastoring in churches. I grew up in the home of a pastor, I'm telling you, but it was not until he was 33 years old that he came face to face with the reality that practice all you want, but practice does not make perfect. He had been a pastor and a preacher for nearly 15 years, but did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know there are those that are listening today, and this is pricking your heart because you've been active in the ways and the circles of religion, but you know that on the inside you're empty. There's a hole there. There's a vacuum there that has not been filled, and there's something missing. There's something wrong. I want to tell you, don't let your good works fool you. If he is not your Lord, he has never been your Savior. Jesus speaks of this man who fooled a lot of people, and I want to tell you this, he also, I believe, fooled himself into believing he was a legitimate Christian. David, why do you think that? Because he says to Jesus, Lord, Lord. And in the Greek, that's a double emphatic, and it denotes that when he said, Lord, Lord, he was saying it with enthusiasm, with zeal, with passion. My friend, he believed what he was saying to Jesus. And I believe if we could see the faces of those like this man, when Jesus turns to them and says, I never knew you, depart from me, I believe utter and complete shock will come upon their face because they were as fooled as the people they were leading. I'll never forget the day my father picked me up riding in that little red extended cab pickup truck, driving along, and he said, David, I've got something to share with you. I said, what is it? He said, I've been saved. It was hard for me to take that in at the moment, but hearing his voice, seeing his eyes, I knew that what he was saying was true. And I believe my response was, I was young. I was only about 12 or 13. I believe my response was, well, welcome to the club. But you see, it's not what you know. It's not even who you know. When it all comes down to the bottom line, my friend, it's who knows you. Who knows you? We've spent 3 weeks now talking about different categories of false salvation. But I cannot end this series that way. Next week when you come back, we're going to close by discussing the one and real and only true way to know that you know that you know that Jesus knows you. Next week we'll talk about the real deal. So you got to come back. Until then, would you keep seeking the truth?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.